Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the legislative session is over and Jim Rogers weighs in. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, Mike Bosma, and Todd Taxpayer Bailey. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Abby, you think we'll be cowgirls someday?
You're darn tootin'. Maybe we'll even win buckles.
Yeah.
Get ready for the nonstop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. It all starts with Bulls as Extreme Bulls kicks off 10 nights of Reno Rodeo starting June 16th.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah! As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are always pleased to welcome to the program Jim Rogers. He heads up Intermountain West Communications, which owns the broadcast stations upon which this program airs. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Jim.
Oh, Sam, I'm always glad to be here.
Let's start out with the top of the news today. Carolyn Goodman, now mayor of Las Vegas. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I've known Carolyn since they moved here, since she and Oscar moved here 45 years ago. I've been a great admirer of hers. And forgetting a moment, Oscar, I think Carolyn really can stand on her own. She has an excellent education. She comes from an education background. I think her mother did everything except finish her thesis for a Ph.D. at Columbia. So she certainly knows what education is about. Oscar, you know, is a graduate of Penn, which is one of the great universities in this country. And she's a graduate of Bryn Mawr. She comes with very good credentials. And over the period of time after she and Oscar moved here, you know, she got involved in the Meadows School, and really she was the Meadows School, or is the Meadows School, and that was a major project for this community, and she's done an excellent job. So I think she's bright, I think she's creative, I think she's a little different from Oscar, who's Mr. Boisterous himself. But I feel very comfortable with her being the mayor. At the same time, and I wrote a Twitter, which will go out in a little bit, when it comes to Chris, I was a little surprised when Chris originally announced that she was going to run, because I wasn't quite sure whether Chris was a fit, as good a fit for the job as Carolyn. And I had dealt with Chris when she was in the legislature. I always knew that when we appeared before her, she would have read every document, every figure on every page, and not only would have read it, but she would understand it. She was a terror on wheels when it came to cross-examination. She'd have been a damn good lawyer. She's focused, she's smart, she's aggressive, and I admire all of those traits. So as I looked forward to it, and I was asked this question, question the other day, what would I think about either one becoming mayor? I frankly don't. I would not have had a problem with either one of them being mayor. I thought that, quite frankly, the vote would be a lot closer than it was. But I like both. I think that maybe for the mayor's job, Carolyn is a better fit. And I think that probably the public looked at it somewhat the same way. But they're both superstars. They really are.
And do you think that it would be the smart thing to continue the policies of Oscar Goodman in this next mayoralty?
Well, you know, I don't know specifically what the policies were. You know, I talked to Oscar a lot. I think he had a very broad view of an awful lot of things. He certainly understood the downtown. He understood that Las Vegas, the downtown area, could not decay. And he'd been involved in most of the increase in the business in that area. But remember that you've got a couple of hotels that are closed, and something has to be done about those, because after a while they will really become a blight on the community. But Carolyn is in her own way, I think, very well suited and well educated and trained, if that's the right word, to carry on with what Oscar's views were. She'll be different, you know, she's different in her approach to some extent. But I think Oscar's views were very sound. Nobody ever worked harder at a job than Oscar. Nobody ever enjoyed a job more than Oscar. And quite frankly, I think he did a hell of a good job. And I think she will do a good job. But I think she'll do a good job as her own person. I really believe that.
All right, let's change topics and talk about the game changer at the legislature, which was the Supreme Court's decision that the state could not take $62 million in the Clean Water Coalition funds from Clark County. Were you surprised at the game changer that became?
No. What I was surprised about, and I'm not an expert in that area, I'm really not, but I think you have to understand that if people put money up for a specific cause, they expect that money to be used for that cause or for that reason, for that economic reason. And so when you've got a water district or whatever they ended up calling it, raising that kind of money for that kind of project, and then the governor swoops in and takes that money, it would make me as a resident or citizen of this state say, whoa. I'm very reluctant to put money into a project when I don't know whether the governor is going to come swoop in and take that money if he gets in a bind. I thought that Sandoval's approach to that was very bad. He's a very good lawyer. He was a federal judge. And I'm not quite sure what his thinking was, that he thought he could actually do that. The Supreme Court obviously said that he couldn't do it. And I think that decision is very good. I think it'll be very comfortable for the citizens of the whole state to know that if they put up money for X project, that is what it will be used for.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jim Rogers when we come back.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time. Get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection. These are the classic songs that live on forever. Can't get this massive 8-CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with a complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jim Rogers, who heads up Intermountain West Communications. You know, it's interesting, Jim, going back to this discussion about the Supreme Court decision that now Clark County is looking at potentially millions of dollars to go back to the state and get that money refunded. Isn't this somewhat of a dangerous game that if the counties and the cities and other organizations that have been raided for money over the years all start suing and winning, that then the state will say, well, you know, we've got all these mandates we're going to put on you, and we're not going to fund them.
Well, I don't know that that follows, Sam. It seems to me that I've never liked to be intimidated by anybody for any reason. Once you start knuckling under to things that are wrong, to things that are especially legally wrong, I think you've lost the game. So I think whatever the effects of that Supreme Court judgment are, or decision are, I think that they need to be followed through. And anybody who comes under that decision, who can then go back and say, we want our money back, that's exactly what should be done. And if the state doesn't want to do it that way, they need to develop some legislation that will prevent that from happening. But one of the best things that all of us have, or greatest things that all of us have in our lives, is predictability. That if I do A, this will happen, B will happen, or C will happen. But when you've got a decision that would have been contrary to what the Supreme Court actually decided, then I say, if I do A, I don't know what B is going to be or what C is going to be, which makes me very goosey and very reluctant to do A. That has a very chilling effect on people. So predictability is very important with all of our lives, no matter what we're doing. We want to know where we're going to eat lunch, what we're going to do this afternoon, what clients we're going to see, etc., etc., etc. And if I had no schedule, or I had no right or ability to predict what was going to happen in my life, it would really turn to hell. I don't have any problem with that.
All right, let's turn to education reform. Ed Vogel, reporting for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, said that Sandoval won legislative support to end the last-in, first-out policy. Are you happy with that?
I am very happy with that. In fact, let me go a step further. I suggested to some of my friends in the higher education system a few years ago, which nearly led to my lynching, that I thought tenure should be done away with. I felt that the reasons that tenure was originally established, that is to protect the integrity of the professor so that they wouldn't be harassed into teaching things that they didn't believe, et cetera, et cetera. I thought those had really gone away. And the tenure now had meant that if you worked so hard and you did so for so long that it pretty much had a guaranteed job for the rest of your life. Now, one of the deans of a college pointed out to me, well, you know, tenure in a university, we examine it every 2 or 3 or 5 years, and we see if this person has published enough and what their record has been. And then if we don't want to give them tenure, we don't have to. Well, when you make the decision not to give that professor tenure, you just as well set aside $1 million in an account, because that's how much the litigation is going to cost you. I don't believe that I have a right, if I have a job, unless I have a contract for that job, to expect that tomorrow I will have that job if I don't do a good job. And people do not, in spite of what some people may think, people generally are not spiteful and don't go around canning people who don't deserve to be fired. It doesn't produce anything for anyone. So I'm against tenure. I would continue to be against tenure. There are other things that protect the professors. And back to your original question, I think that the best teachers should teach and the bad teachers should go.
Let me ask you about your thoughts on how higher education fared in the end, because the cuts were a lot less damaging than had originally been thought.
Well, I frankly haven't looked at the specific budget, and I'd have to talk to Dan Klaich, with whom I have not talked in a couple of weeks, about it. But I think this, and that is that, you know, it's kind of the question, would you rather be hanged or shot? And it's less painful to be shot. The point is that we keep compromising and compromising and compromising. And we say, wow, we had $10 to begin with, we needed 20. Now you've told us you were going to take 5 away from us, and we really came out with a hell of a deal because you only took 7. And no matter how you point that out, Sam, it's not a victory for education. Anytime you lose any money, it's too much because we haven't funded education adequately since the get-go. So you can say, well, it turned out to be not as bad as they first thought, which I don't think anybody thought that it would eventually be as bad as everyone first thought. But it's not good. And what you end up doing is you compromise and you compromise and you compromise, and one morning you wake up and you say, I don't have anything left. I don't have any product. You know, you keep whittling down this program and whittling down that program at the universities, and pretty soon you have nothing left. So I don't know how they did specifically, but I would guess that based upon what they should be getting from the state, that they didn't do very well.
Let me ask you, we've got about a minute left here. Redistricting did not get done in the session. It is now in the Supreme Court. Is this becoming the most powerful Supreme Court we have seen in decades in Nevada?
Wow. Well, I've lived here 60 years, and I've been an attorney for, I think, about 48 of those years. This is, I don't know that I'd make that comparison, but I think this. I've known a lot of these Supreme Court members for an awful long time. In fact, Jim Hardesty at one time was our lawyer. This is a first-rate Supreme Court, and I've dealt with Supreme Courts in 5 western states where we have stations, and I can tell you that they're all pretty good. But I think this is an outstanding one, and I think this Supreme Court, maybe more than any that I've seen, really understands its responsibility to stand up for what it believes. I don't think it gets politicized like other Supreme Courts have in the past, or as much politicized. So I'm very pleased with what they are and what they've done.
And we'll be back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
When accidents happen, where can you turn? Galloway & Jensen, one of Reno's finest personal injury law firms. Bob and Graham have over 50 years' experience defending folks just like you. They know how insurance companies defend claims. They know how they'll evaluate your injury, and they know when to take them to court.
Why go it alone against the insurance companies?
Call us today. We'll fight for you.
Call Galloway & Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
With all the uncertainty around healthcare, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription. And now, I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0096 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mike Bosma is here, president of the Bosma Group. We have Trey Abney with Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce and Todd Taxpayer Bailey, publisher of the Capital Chronicles. So I wanted to start out, Trey, with your thoughts on the enabling legislation that will allow the ballpark and downtown Reno to be able to raise fees, et cetera, to go towards some of the projects that still need funding.
You know, it's interesting. That thing happened in the very last hours of the very last day of the legislative session. I know groups like NPRI and Chuck Muth and others have said that's a tax increase. The governor's arguing it's actually just enabling legislation. You have to have two-thirds of the city council approve it. And then, of course, in the Reno Gazette Journal this morning, you had the baseball owner saying it may not happen for even a couple of years. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is Reno was supposed to be paying to the ballpark out of their redevelopment dollars from downtown, the property taxes. You know, the bottom dropped out of the property values in downtown, and so they haven't been able to pay that money. And so this is a way, I think, to let them pay their bills. You know, people ask if the ACES could have just raised their prices on their own and done that, but this allows them to tell customers, I think, no, the government is imposing a surcharge in order to do that. So, I mean, it seems it's not like it's a citywide tax on everybody. It's only for people that go and utilize and enjoy the ballpark.
Well, you know, Todd, it's interesting because really property values in downtown Reno have been down forever, decades.
Well, I don't think they had a choice. I frankly would rather see this money come out of the people who are using the facility than, say, the school district or property tax revenues or a lot of the early mechanisms they used to get that thing off the ground. Myself and others have had problems with that from the beginning. It is enabling legislation. I guess it's a tax increase on people who go to the baseball stadium, but they're the people who wanted it, and so they should be willing to pay for it, I guess. I mean, that's how it works, right?
View this and view at the same time the proposals for the arenas in Southern Nevada.
Well, I guess I should make that
a question and say, you know, is it a good thing to have the government involved?
I believe for what they're trying to accomplish, yes. I mean, government needs to set policy and set a direction, and then they have to pay for it. And creating a vibrant downtown core makes Reno a better place. So I think from a policy perspective, that makes sense. I don't have a ton of heartburn with how they did it. I might go back and challenge some of the assumptions about why not try and create more of a vibrant downtown to kind of get property values back up that creates the revenue base that's supposed to pay for this thing to begin with. You know, it's just right now, downtown, we just moved downtown, and there are so many, it is hard to do business downtown, let's put it that way.
Why? Yeah, absolutely.
The ordinances or regulations, I mean, we, you know, if you want to have surface parking, we have, you know, 40 surface parking spots that are adjacent to our building. I had to put $120,000 of improvements into that in order to get it permitted for parking, you know, because it has to have lighting. And so I think if the city council were really going to develop downtown, they would say, let's just make it easy to do business down here, make it a good experience, and that way people are going to migrate back. I mean, it takes some of all the governmental tinkering out of it, make it easy, and I think that would drive property values back up.
You know, it's interesting because there is a lot of movement in downtown, including the chamber.
Well, that's right. The chamber moved over to a new building at California, Virginia. But I want to go back to something interesting you mentioned about the Las Vegas arena proposals. Those did not go through. There was a bill to give three different arena guys the opportunity to use some financing to put an arena down there, maybe get some professional sports teams. It was thought that when Bill Raggio retired, that the North would lose its power. You know, it's been people from the South have always said the North has always taken all this power and we've gotten all this money up here and been able to get things done. Bill Raggio leaves, and the only things to get through at the end of this session were things for downtown Reno, both the ballpark and the bowling stadium issue, and Las Vegas didn't get any of their arenas, and I just think that's an interesting point that needs to be made.
There's a slight difference there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Trey, but there's not general agreement in the community of Las Vegas of who and what and how that arena is going to go forward, whereas here up in Reno, generally there was agreement of how that was going to go forward.
Right, because the improvements for the bowling stadium would guarantee a 20-year contract.
Sure. Concerns about, you know, funding mechanism early on with the star bonds, but aside from that, I think everyone in our community is generally supportive of all those things. There's not that in Las Vegas on those bills.
Well, and it was interesting, too, because it was almost immediately that one of the people who were proposing to build down near Mandalay Bay suddenly went, well, no government money, maybe it's not going to happen, maybe I'm not going to buy the team, because that really wasn't the way it was portrayed in the beginning.
Well, it was the guy that bought the 51s, the Las Vegas 51s, and now he's saying, hey, I bought them based on them moving out of Cashman Field and going somewhere else, and now they're not able to do that. So.
All right, I want to talk about the nanny state here. Lawmakers approved the ban on texting while driving in Nevada. What's next? Are they going to be after people eating ham sandwiches and drink? And at what point are you going to know? I mean, are you allowed to look at your cell phone to see a text when you're at a stoplight? Or it seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I Sam, I really believe that let people be responsible for their actions. You know, and so, you know, and I think if you're able to do that and create an awareness program, you know, I think the awareness program has helped the texting and people really driving all over the road. That's really the issue, not texting. And so I think if they were more proactive on that piece of it, making more legislation just makes this a harder place to live, and what we're trying to do with the Reno Renegades is promote this area as a good, healthy place to live, grow family, grow business. So, you know, every time they do those things, I think it just takes away from what we're trying to build and tell the rest of the world.
I completely agree, and just to be clear, the chamber didn't take a position on this bill, so this is just Trey Abney talking. But I think it's ridiculous. You already have laws in the books that tell you can't drive, you know, distracted driving laws, whether it's eating, putting on makeup, whatever you're doing. I mean, I've spent a lot of time the last couple of months driving back and forth through Washoe Valley, and that's where I'll get all my work done through that straight stretch there. So.
You get the last 10 seconds.
You know, we avoided the biggest issues at this legislature. We simply kicked it back to 2 years ago. Well, it's not forward this time. It's backwards. We're at the same election process we were 2 years ago. Texting and all these other laws that they passed, you know, they may be important to certain constituencies, but really it's just a big distraction from the bigger issues they did not address.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be right back on Nevada News Vegas after this timeout.
Lend a hand during the difficult times following a cancer diagnosis. They're right there with patients and their families every step of the way. They're a cheering section, but never on the sidelines. They require no referral and they'll see you within 24 hours. They're the expert hands of the cancer nurse navigators at Renown, and they make the remarkable happen every single day. To learn more, visit remarkablerecoveries.renown.org.
From all parts of Reno and Sparks, people are discovering Northern Nevada's newest premier gift and garden center, Old Stonehouse Gift and Garden. And what are they saying? Old Stonehouse Gift and Garden has the best selection of vegetables, annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs. Landscaping? Now's the time to see us. Or call us if you need landscaping at 358-1700. Old Stonehouse Gift and Garden, where with every $10 purchase, receive $1 in bonus bucks for future purchases. At 3397 Pyramid Way, 2 blocks north of McCarran Boulevard, Sparks.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
Ashley Furniture Home Store is celebrating Father's Day. For a limited time, buy one recliner, get one free. Buy any of these great $299 recliners, get one free. Purchase any of these recliners and get one free. Plus, for making us number one, get a free HD TV with qualifying furniture purchase. But you better hurry. The Father's Day buy one recliner, get one free and free HD TV offer ends soon. Only at Ashley Furniture Home Store. The number one name in furniture.
Among the guests next week on Nevada Newsmakers, Lieutenant Governor Brian Krolicki, legislative legend Jim Wadhams, and foreclosure expert Jeff Giles. We'll see you on the next broadcast.